Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Wow, what a week. Nobody could have had a better week than we have. We've been talking about this water. We've been talking about this water. We've been talking about this water, trying to educate the community about the water. And this week, a huge lawsuit was filed against the state and the mayor of Benton Harbor. Well, here's the sad part. It took 3 years for all this to happen. 3 years. It took three long, hard years of fighting to make this happen. They sued the mayor of Benton Harbor as an individual and also in his official capacity, which make it so good is that his followers, the ones who graduated from high school with him, they're walking around now with mud all over their face. This is exactly what we were looking for. But this is going to be the first of many. I'm going to say they're going to be at least 10 to 15 different law coming in here, filing lawsuits against the state of Michigan and the city of Benton Harbor, along with the mayor, along with Darwin Watson, Ellis Mitchell, that whole gang. This is huge because it's sending a message loud and clear. There's not a reason in this world for three whole years this community had to pay for water that was contaminated with this water. They drunk this water. They cooked with this water. They washed their meat off with this water. They washed their greens with this water. They bathed in this water, and they made baby formulas with this water. Yes, they did. This was huge because it opened the door to show what we can do when we stand together. His followers, these are the ones that went to school with him. You see, most of them. I would say, and it's not a large group, though, but those who voted for him, you got mud on your face, You got mud all over your face. You got mud in your eyes. You got mud in your mouth. You got mud everywhere. You are the ones who helped create this mess that we're in today. Yeah, you're part of that. You knew that this man was no good. You knew it. You had all the evidence to support that he was no good. Yet you went out and voted for him because you went to school with him. That's right, because you went to school with him. You got one little jerk, that triplet guy. He's a jerk. You got him walking around here still trying to defend this guy. I know he don't know no better, but yet, He was a teacher up at the high school. That tells you the mentality of the residents of the city of Benton Harbor. And that boy couldn't work in no school. He was assistant principal one time and the principal, but he could never work in a school where, where I would be the superintendent. Never. Never. But this is the most important thing for the community. We're strictly trying to make this community whole. And most of the time when there's a black community, when the majority of the people is black, most of the time people just don't care. They don't care. But most of the time black people don't care. You can tell people that the water is contaminated, they still gonna drink it. And then when they die of kidney disease, you know, somebody should have done something. When they die of liver disease, the first thing will come out of their mouth and their relative mouth, somebody should have done something. Yeah, they said it right, somebody other than you guys. Man, this is huge because now it tells the story that we've been telling all along. It tells the whole story right now. You see? And this is when the people will have to stand up and fight back. You know, a lot of times people, they do things. Well, you know, I know that, you know, they expect to get some cash out of this. And you should. You should get cash out of this. You should make sure that we get a clean water, not just today, but for the future. Everything, single thing that we do should be for the future. Everything. Every single thing that we do should be for the future of our children. See, that's where we drop the ball. We're not building a strong foundation. And do you think for one moment that they care? Absolutely not. They don't care nothing about that. You have a mayor who's looking for a butt to kiss. As long as it's white. He's a butt kisser. Professional butt kisser. At your expense. Unbelievable. But this what this does. This loose fouling this lawsuit. Put mud in the mouth, in the eyes of all those people that voted for him. 500 people. 90% of them was his classmates. Now they walk around smeared with mud. See, I was warned about this guy. You see. And you know what? My thing was, give him a chance. Give him enough rope to hang himself. Yeah, he done lynched himself. The media tried to build him up like he was somebody. You know, they was trying to, they wouldn't ask him them hard questions. When did you know? And when you found out, why did you not do something about it? This is what they were saying. This is what they was doing. They you know, well, right now you're getting a fight. Yeah, you're getting a fight fixed all because of the Benton-Harbor Community Water Council. You're getting a fix. You're, you know, and they won't say that. They're not going to say that. They're not going to tell the truth. Yeah, you're getting a pipe fixed only because the Benton-Harbor Community Water Council, the Benton-Harbor Community Water Council, only reason that right now we're in this position. They figured black people didn't have the ingenuity, the skill, the wisdom to do it. But never underestimate the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization and the Benton-Harbor Community Water Council, which is one. Because we're capable of doing a lot more. We have the wisdom. We have the knowledge. We have the skills. And we have the team. More than 20 groups from around the state of Michigan signed on. More than 20 groups. They're all petitioners, if you ask me. Every last one of them. And I'm so grateful that we had the skills and the knowledge and the people with enough respect for us to want to be part of it. I'm the guy who don't quit. I don't give up. I'm not a quitter. Regardless what it looks like, what it seems like, that means nothing to me. Because we're going to make it happen. We're going to make sure take care of the business here in the city of Benton Harbor. Yep, they filed the first lawsuit was filed in federal court, and they're only asking for $76 million. So that's peanuts in comparison. She'll probably have maybe about 200-300 people on this lawsuit, which will give everybody a chance to get enough money to do a lot of different things. I'm excited myself because everything we've been seeing now becomes reality. People who probably never did support what we was doing now supports it. They didn't know what to do, you see. So filing that petition with the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, was such a huge thing, and it got everyone's attention. Well, listen, I want to bring in my first guest, Janet. She's a reporter herself, a writer, a journalist. She's just a very creative young lady. But I let her tell her story because she can and will tell it just like it is. Janet, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, hello, Reverend Pinckney. How are you today?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I wanted to thank you for asking me back on. We had some technical problems, I guess, last week. So I'm hoping that with today's connection, we'll be able to see this through. Yes, I was reading about the lawsuit, and I want to congratulate you on your perseverance and your diligence in keeping this issue front and center. I see where just a few days ago, concerning the situation with the lead pipes in Flint, Michigan, that a federal judge has just approved a settlement of $626 million for the victims of the lead water crisis in Flint. So it does look like they're creating certainly a platform for which these crises are being acknowledged, and the courts are doing the right thing here. So I'm very, very pleased about that.
And you know what, then, Jen, I'm happy to see that. And here's the problem with Flint: they got $626 million, and then after they made the settlement, people wanted to sign up, but before they didn't want to sign up. Somebody called me from Flint and told me I want to sign up for the Flint lawsuit. How you gonna sign up 2 years later? You've been living there all this time, and you didn't go to nobody to sign up. Now since they got a settlement, you want to sign up? I said, how stupid is that? I said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And I said, well, you can't sign up. I said, because it's all over, you know. They already settled. How you going to sign up now? And it's going to be the same thing here in Benton Harbor. It's going to be the same situation here. You're going to have people that they don't want to do nothing. Then after they received a settlement, they're going to want to be part of the settlement, and they're not going to be part of it. But I want to thank you for your work also. You You went out and you did interview the mayor himself, and only written questions, but he didn't answer none of them. But listen, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about what you want to talk about. You tell me, and you know you got 30 minutes to talk about it. Let's talk.
Well, I want to thank you very much because, as you know, Reverend Pinckney, I've recently had a book published on the pandemic, and it actually is relevant to the crisis in Benton Harbor, believe it or not, because the primary thesis in the book is that the United States of America has been violating biological weapons norms and laws and human experimentation norms and laws. And also, parenthetically, there is some information in the book about chemical weapons violations. And the book is really chock full of information that points to an agenda within the United States government to use these weapons covertly against citizens. Now, I know that that's shocking, but I do believe that the book, which is not theoretical, these are not conspiracy theories, these are facts that the book reports. And the title of the book, by the way, is At the Breaking Point of History, How Decades of U.S. Duplicity Enabled the Pandemic. And as I had indicated, there is a chapter in the book on Flint, Michigan, that goes into some of the behind-the-scenes hanky-panky and failure to act that produced the crisis in Flint, Michigan. And there's also information concerning the larger pandemic issue having to do with the fact that the U.S. went ahead and changed their biological weapons laws. It changed the whole paradigm in a section in the U.S. Patriot Act. Now, as we know, the Patriot Act was rushed through Congress after the attacks of September 11th, followed by a biological weapons attack through the anthrax mailings. And the U.S., when the U.S. passed this piece of legislation, there was included this Section 817, which is the expansion of the biological weapons statute. And in this piece of legislation, 817, the U.S. government gave itself immunity from violating its own biological weapons laws. Now, that's a very peculiar thing to do. And it had a lot of reverberations. For example, the United States is party to a convention, an international treaty convention called the Biological Weapons Convention. And in this treaty, the U.S. agrees not to deploy, stockpile, disseminate biological weapons. So this strange Section 817 could actually be seen as a violation of the convention. Now, it gets even deeper than that because according to the stipulations of the convention, the U.S. has to report any changes in domestic legislation to the convention at large. So the question, one of the questions I asked is, asked and answered, was did the U.S. report the changes in 817 to the Biological Weapons Convention? And they did not. They didn't. Now, according to a delegate to the convention named Chris Park, who is a member of the U.S. State Department, it was an oversight. They forgot, right? Well, as it turns out, they didn't forget because there were statements made on the record by the United States government about their biological weapons laws in which they were actively misleading the convention. So this is an example. This is a jumping off point to understand, you know, what has happened in terms of this pandemic. The book is full of other sorts of revelations and information, how the U.S. was finagling laws, finagling their legal obligations in numerous different ways in order to pave the way for a pandemic. Now, if one takes the viewpoint, which I do, that we are facing, what was it George Bush, the first one, called this kinder, gentler America, right? So if this is a kinder, gentler eugenics program, if this is a kinder, gentler Holocaust, then the sorts of actions that we are seeing, including the cover-up of the lead pipe issue, would fit in very neatly with this sort of hypothesis. So I'm going to take a second and have a little drink of water here. If you have any questions, Reverend Pinkney, please do ask.
Yeah, I have one question. Can you kind of like quiet that noise behind you? That's a lot of noise that was being made.
Is it? Well, I can mute myself when I'm not talking. That's the best I can do.
All right, but do it here. Let me ask you. Just recently, it was my understanding that this chemical attack on the whole world came from this lab in the United States government financed this lab. Would you say that's a true statement, or how can you explain that?
It does appear that funding of the Wuhan lab was came through the United States government for a particular project having to do with coronaviruses, and this particular project was headed up by Peter Daszak, who had an NGO, Eco Health Solutions. I'm sorry, it's not right at the tip of my tongue, but this project was indeed funded through the U.S. government. Yes, it was.
And it's my understanding. Somebody even said that this was no accident that this virus got out into the world. Someone said that it was planned because these billionaires, they're saying that it's too many people on Earth anyway. So they got, you know, this won't be the last virus that attack on this nation or this world, because they're trying to figure out right now how to eliminate people with some kind of chemical warfare. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, you know, this is what the mainstream media is sneering at, calling a conspiracy theory. But the fact is that when you look at the U.S.'s involvement in biological warfare, starting back, President Richard Nixon announced to the world that the U.S. was unilaterally abandoning its offensive biological weapons program in 1969. But the fact is they didn't. So the entire scenario about biological weapons has been built on a lie. And I believe that the contents of my book pretty much prove that. So I'm very concerned that, okay, this is the scene that we're given. This is what the media tells us, right? Somebody ate a sick bat in Wuhan, and now the entire world has to be shut down. Economies have to be destroyed. You know, people have to take this very questionable vaccine. People have to be locked in their homes. When, in fact, 300 meters away from this market where allegedly that sick bat was eaten, they were doing U.S.-funded research on coronavirus and bats. So you tell me, how would we know, Reverend Pinckney, how would we know if we are subject to a biological weapons attack or if we are subject to a pandemic? We would know because of what the media tells us. And there is a lot of concern being raised in many quarters that the media has not done its due diligence here in explaining to us what the situation is. And in fact, when I decided to put this book together in the first months of 2020, I decided to do so because I was frankly appalled at the way that the coronavirus pending pandemic was being reported in the media. The media was not giving the history here. It was not giving context, was not talking about the U.S.'s violations of the Biological Weapons Convention and how they changed their own domestic laws and how in, was it like 4 or 5 years ago, the U.S. was caught sending live anthrax through the mail to over 100 labs worldwide. Now, all of this points to a very suspicious agenda, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and always remember this, the media plays a large part in this stuff because I definitely don't trust the media. Not for one second, because what they try to do is program your mind into thinking something that's even not true. Because in the last couple of years, whatever you died from, they made it the virus, the coronavirus. If you died from kidney disease, it was a coronavirus. If you died from liver, it was a coronavirus. Whatever it was, a heart failure, a corona diet, virus. And to me, I thought it was designed to intimidate you and scare you into doing whatever they want to do, because they believe that at this point, maybe 75% of this nation alone has been have got vaccinated, and they trying to vaccinate everybody, and then they come up with a booster. When you take a vaccination, I never know nobody that you have to get a booster shot and stuff like that, especially in the first year. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But my biggest concern is that when is the next attack going to come? You see, this is just the beginning. You know, you're going to have to, you know, within the next 2-3 years, you're going to have to take another a shot for something else. You know, they remember the Ebola disease that they made a movie about. They went to Africa and it jumped out from somebody and went airborne, according to them. The Ebola disease went airborne. It's airborne now. You know, it's all in the air and stuff like that. Then they were trying to say this virus was all in the air. And I believe it was in the air. You know, if you can go outside and catch this thing, I'm very disturbed about it, you know. My concern is that what's next? That to me is the scary part. You know, it's just not that virus itself. It's what's next, because they didn't kill enough people with this virus and they eyesight, but one is too many. You know, so my thing is this. You know, we have to prepare ourselves for this government, and this, you know, it's the world government. It's not just the United States, even though the United States is hidden most of this stuff, along with China and Russia and everybody else. But we got to make ourselves aware of what this and keep spreading the word. You know, everybody's not going to believe what you say, regardless what it is. You can hit them over the head with a hammer, and yes, they fail or out to bed or something, because that's how, you know, that's how people are made up. But tell me this. What would you suggest that the people do at this stage concerning this virus?
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I'm one of those people who's not so worried about this virus. I mean, it has less than a 1% case fatality rate. Now, why is it necessary to destroy people's business, to order them, you know, to stay in their homes for a virus that kills less than 1% of the people that it infects? I mean, that's kind of, like, weird, you know? There's some other problems going on here as well. As you pointed out, hospitals and doctors were instructed to list as a COVID death people who died of other causes. Now, why would they do that? You know, and now we have a vaccine which has resulted in death, okay? It causes heart problems in some people, and it causes other kinds of problems, and people are dying, and nobody knows exactly how many people are dying. I personally, here where I live, knew people who got the vaccine and subsequently were told that they caught COVID, went to the hospital and died. So, you know, we have a vaccine that doesn't really prevent getting sick. It's an experimental vaccine using RNA technology. Nobody really knows if there are other effects going on that might show up later. So, you know, personally, I'll take my chances with COVID. I would not go to a hospital personally, because I think what I've read is that they tend to intubate COVID patients, and then they found out that intubating them was killing them faster. I mean, the whole thing is, it's like, you know, it's a friggin' nightmare. And my concern, my central concern here is that there are several things that can ride in on a pandemic scenario that can be far more deadly than a pandemic with a 1% case fatality rate. One of the things that can ride in, of course, are the vaccine mandates. But there's some other concerns here. Now, the book goes into, in the later sections of the book, it goes into, in some depth, some original reporting that I did on what can happen as a result of mass quarantines and lockdowns. And we are dealing here, and I really do hope that people will read up on this, because it's kind of a complicated infrastructure issue that I believe the book documents very well. And guess what? Again, it has to do with water. And so, you know, we're in a situation where things are not, the situation we're in is not being made clear to us by the media. People are not exposing, generally speaking, I mean, there are brave souls, brave independent souls who are talking about this that you can find on the internet. But generally speaking, we're being told, you know, shut up and do what we tell you to do. Take your vaccine, put your mask on, stay at home, and everything's going to be fine. Well, we saw, I believe it was not only in New York, I believe in Michigan as well, where the governors decided to send sick COVID patients from hospitals into nursing homes, where the COVID spread like wildfire and tens of thousands of more people died unnecessarily. So, you know, I think it's very important now that we do our own research and come to our own conclusions and make our own decisions and not listen to what CNN is telling us as the government say we have to do. This is the way I feel about it.
And you know what? I agree with that 100%. But you know, we still got to be careful. We still got to be aware of this virus because one of the things that I know about government, when they have a main objective, and if that objective is to eliminate some people on Earth because we have too many, you better make sure that you're aware and you protect yourself. Because I believe the goal is this time around, I think I'm thinking around the world, I think 3 million people had died from this virus. I'm not positive, but I'm thinking 3 million people have died. Because almost a million have died from the United States alone. So I'm thinking that, you know, the goal is let's find something even more deadlier next time to knock off every other year, maybe 5 to 10 million people. And because remember, just like you said, less than 1% who actually got this died, but it just seems like everybody was getting it to me. And it seemed like that, you know, you had to protect yourself to me. But look, I got to close with you, but I'm going to let you have the last 3 minutes to tell us what you want us to know.
Well, I think that we've entered a different dispensation, and we have to be very careful about believing what our government is telling us. And that not only has to do with water, it has to do with vaccines, it has to do with, recommended health recommendations. I think we're in a dangerous situation, and we need to rely on each other, and we need to rely on our own research and understanding. So I want to thank you very much for having me on. Again, I just want to quickly mentioned the title of the book. It's At the Breaking Point of History, How Decades of U.S. Duplicity Enabled the Pandemic. It's published by Trinde. It's available on Amazon and elsewhere. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney. And God bless you for what you're doing.
And you take care of yourself, and let's stay in touch because there's a lot of work that we can do, and let's make it happen. All right,
absolutely.
Janet.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, now. Take care, Janet. Bye now. Hey, that's the world right now. Let me bring in my good friend from Detroit, the one and only Marcina Cole. Marcina Cole, are you there? Marcina Cole.
Yes,
okay.
I am, Reverend Pina. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Great again.
Yes, okay. Now, you know me, doing that research about COVID-19, and I'm real upset what's going on in the United States and the world. We're still having these surges with the coronavirus because of the CDC ruling and saying people don't have to wear a mask if they've been fully vaccinated, but there's no tracking record when you go to public places and people are not being asked to produce the cards, you know, to show that you've been vaccinated and all that. So if we're not doing our part and we're going back to the way it was before the pandemic, these, restaurant establishments are not, doing great hygiene and not washing their hands prior to cooking, coming to work sick, you know it, whatever's going on, we already know about the airborne with the COVID-19 since it's been here for over 2 years. And so right now in the state of Michigan, over 1 million cases, it actually had increased. And it steady increases for like every month that I look at the statistics, and sometimes these numbers are not accurate or whatever. But I do know when I see where it's a surge, you know, of these cases, and I know why. And then we got state of Michigan alone, and then United States, we have many cases when it comes with the COVID in this country alone. We have in the world cases is 253 million and deaths over 5 million. And in the United States is over 40 million, up to 50 million and 762,000 deaths. That's quite a bit. And
yeah,
even in Europe, right? And in, even in Europe, it's been a horrible surge since last week. They said over 2 million cases of COVID-19 in the UK. So it's not just the United States with the surging of these cases. Is across the world, and people don't really talk about it. Got to connect the dots. I mean, you know, it started in Wuhan, China, you know, and then I also want to mention about the people who have other illnesses that are affecting them, you know, and have delayed treatment diagnostics, you know, for their illnesses because of the COVID-19 is here. Either they're not going to the doctor because it's, you know, who wants to go to a hospital or a clinic when you have people who are testing positive. And I just want to say this, the people have been vaccinated, millions of people have been vaccinated in the United States, but they have here, they named it called the breakthrough infections, and that's people who have been fully vaccinated and also getting COVID. So they don't have the symptoms, you know, severe symptoms where required hospitalization, they could be minor or whatever, but those people who are vaccinated and have COVID can spread it to others. So that could become a problem. I'm not, you know, I'm neutral. I'm not saying, you know, hey, don't get vaccinated. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just giving you some facts that people, there has been cases that people who've been vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer, or whatever, they're getting COVID-19. Then you've got, obviously, the cases who people who are unvaccinated with be more cases of severity of getting COVID because, you know, once a person is in contact with other people in the public or at home, and, you know, it can spread through the air. It can spread through objects which you touch or whatever. It could, you know, with COVID-19 could be in some, you know, steel products, cardboard for 3 days. And so in the air, you know, over 3 hours, COVID-19 can live through that. So we're breathing this and everything else. So we're not safe right now until everybody is safe. And we have people still suffering with long-term symptoms. Even my daughter who had COVID last year, she still has the long-term symptoms. And so right now they're doing studies with this. Researchers, doctors, and all these other people in the medical field are doing research in regards to people who had the long-term effects of COVID, even though they, you know, they don't have COVID, but they still have symptoms if they do. So it's not over, and we just have to do our part, Reverend Pinckney. I'm going to move on with that because I know you all discussed about COVID-19, but it takes more than one person to discuss about it. Definitely affecting our livelihood, and I'm concerned about it every day when I go out with my mask. People aren't wearing masks, and I could possibly get it even though I'm vaccinated because it's not 100. The vaccines are not 100%. Period. And they're talking about boosters, all that. I have not done research on the boosters at this point. I have not had a booster. So, I take one day at a time, and I know the effects, but I know with the vaccine that I have, it's not going to prevent me totally from getting COVID-19. But when I'm out there, when I see people without masks, I feel comfortable that I have mine on. But Reverend Pinckney, you know, I want to change the subject right now in regards to, because I did talk to you briefly earlier today. You want to know what I was going to talk about. The thing that I'm concerned about is this Rittenhouse case, and what's disturbing with this Kyle Rittenhouse. He's from Chicago. We all know we heard about it, about this case, and it all started with this 17-year-old. Now he's from Illinois, and he went to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my thing is, okay, here's the question. What are you doing there? Why is he there? Okay? So anyway, he gets down there because there were protests because Jacob Blake black male that got shot by the police and left him paralyzed. And you already know the deal. When the police kill black folks, rarely do they get convicted of a crime that he committed. They walk. They be millionaires.
Yeah.
The white supremacists across this country and this white supremacist nation have given money to their defense. The police officers who gunned down black men, gunned down black women, gunned down killed black children, and nobody talks about, nobody gives a darn. But you've got this white supremacist, Kyle Rittenhouse, who went there during a protest, I think last August, in Kenosha. Now, this guy is walking around with a AR-15 rifle. Let a black person walk around with an AR-15 rifle. We black folks can't even have can in our hands. We black folks can't have cigarettes in our hands. We black folks can't even pull our license to show the police when they pull them over in their vehicles. They get gunned down. But this dude is walking around carrying a AR-15. So he's walking around in Kenosha, and now and he shot and killed two people and wounded others. I don't know. They said one, but I believe it was others, more than one. Regardless of that, he was protected by the police, law enforcement, whatever you want to call it. There is a photo that went viral where after he did the killings, he was escorted by law enforcement who also had an assault weapon. So Rittenhouse got an assault weapon next to him. You already know we would be gunned down. And you know other cases as well where, a black person, if they try to protect themselves, it's not called you stand your ground. You're guilty, mm-hmm. especially if you shoot and kill a white man, which happened in Benton Harbor with the gentleman years ago. He got 30-some plus years. He tried to protect himself, and it all started by the dog. So we already know about what they could do with us. But this guy now, okay, it's in the courts now, and they basically trying to, his defense is basically trying to say, that he was trying to protect himself because Rittenhouse said they were trying to take his gun away. Really? Well, they're trying to protect themselves too. But he initiated all that when he brings this high power weapon with these innocent people that were protesting against Jacob Blake getting shot by the police.
Yeah.
So now he has people across the country, and the guy that got the MyPillow to make millions of dollars, he's one of the guys. He donated millions of dollars for his defense. I can't get a dollar when my daughter was birthed out of her apartment, mm-hmm. whatever. But these white folks who kill folk, innocent people, they walk. They get money. They invited to the Republican Party convention, the parents and all that. They let this guy go home after he did his shooting spree and killed two people. He was able to go home and all that. You know, somebody did a bond, had his bond. No big deal, over $2 million. So that guy who did the MyPillow, and he's making money to this day as I speak, selling MyPillows, whatever crap. And he supported him and other white supremacists and stuff. So it goes on and on. And so now they're trying to lessen the charge so it won't be, intentional homicide. They come up with some new stuff, instead of having a first degree homicide with a dangerous weapon, they'll come up with something like, some reckless or whatever. They'll come up with something to say that, well, he tried to protect himself, and
I think they go charge him with manslaughter. The manslaughter, you could even get probation for that.
Yeah, and you know what? So we already know the racial injustice. We can go all night and talk about the various cases, but we don't have time to do that. But I'm just saying, we know as being a person, people of color, we know that what we want, our justice, is no justice for these white folks. you know, and so they come up with all this different stuff, you know, having a different name and charging him with a lesser charge, like it wasn't intentional that he tried to kill someone and all this other crap, you know. So he killed this guy, Rosenbaum, and Gross Krios, the way we call his name, but anyway. But anyway, the charge that they want basically is a lesser charge, not no 60 years, not no first degree or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this illiterate guy and these Republicans were having a good time partying with these parents who raised this killer, you see. You know, and then but this is what white supremacy does, because it's in, we got judges that's this white supremacist, we got what you call lawyers, we got people, these city official politicians that are white supremacists. We got our hands full, Reverend Pinckney. So I think, personally, I believe he's going to have a lesser charge, and he won't go to prison 5 years. And that's going to send a bad signal out here to these white folks. They can gun down anybody. Because when they have their white privilege.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they already believe that they can gun down anybody and get away with it. They believe that from their heart, and that's why they do it. But look, you got 2 minutes. Tell us what you want us to know, and I got to move on to my good friend Steve. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I just want to say let's be vigilant and be out here, watch your back, because we already know these white folks are out here and heavily armed because of the National Rifles Association and putting more emphasis on people carrying guns and weapons and all that, and we need to fight, you know, and let these politicians know that we can't continue to let these people come out and have these open carrying weapons and the assault weapons. We should not have that here. There's no reason why somebody should be able to carry a weapon with so high power that can kill over 20 people at a time. That's unacceptable. We're not animals, and what they're doing, and this is because of the racism that's in our country and the world today. So we definitely have to have laws in place, and it's a But the NRA basically, you know, have lobbyists, you know, in the Capitol, in the U.S. Capitol. So it's going to be a hard fight because those politicians are supporting to have all these weapons of mass destruction. And so we continue to fight for our rights, you know, don't put our guard down when it comes down to COVID-19. You know, stay healthy, protect yourself and your family. And basically, I just want to say that thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for having me on, and I appreciate it, that hopefully that I sent the message about what's going on today.
All right.
See everybody.
Way to go, Martin. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right. That was my good friend, Martina Cole. Let me bring in my good friend, Steve, from sunny Detroit, Michigan. Talk to me, Steve.
This is James.
James, all right, James, I got you, James.
You know,
James,
you know what we what we need to do. We need to start worrying about white on white crime. This is why blacks don't get no justice. Let's talk about our own race that's doing us wrong. This is our problem.
Yeah.
How many different races defend black folks when black folks get in trouble? You don't hear the Asians get on the radio and talk about we're going to unite with them and help them. We don't hear the Arabs. But every radio host always say, we in it together. These black radio hosts need to call some of these foreigners up and say, what about us? When are we going to get our turn? That is our problem. Our own black folks is killing us. They're doing the dirty work of the white man. So why should we always talk about that white man? If you get rid of that white man, you still got the dirty blacks in office to continue to do the dirty work of that white man. When have you heard a white man call any show and said, I'm with you, black folks? You haven't. It's always the black radio host saying, we in it together. We got to help them. every foreigner came to this country lived better than the black folks that's in this country that fought for this country. Black folks, your grandkids don't have a future in this country. None of these foreigners live in these cities where there's lead in the water. Why is that? But they get money given to them. They grandkids is going to have the future. Look at Detroit. Look at Benton Harbor. How many agents, how many foreigners live around black folks? None, because they're making sure they're well taken care of. If they put these foreigners in these black neighborhoods, now they got to fix the black neighborhood up.
Yeah,
so when you hear someone, when you hear someone on the radio talking about, let's help the Mexicans. Mexicans ain't helping black folks. What did the president do when he got in office? He sent the vice president to the Texas border and said, save the Mexican kids. What about the black kids in this country? They don't say that. The president is coming to Detroit, I believe, next week. How many blacks going to be out there with signs saying, what about us? We voted for you. The two lesser evils. You're going to get evil results regardless who get in office. When they label them, vote for the two lesser evils. Now, will God choose evil over good? That's what they need to ask themselves. So when you get an evil president, you get evil results. So don't get mad at Joe Biden now. You was talked into voting for him. So hold your black people, hold their feet to the fire. They don't want to talk you into it. How can somebody talk you into voting for somebody and you can't talk them into voting the way you say vote? If a black man cannot, if you can't speak for him, he shouldn't be able to speak for you.
There you go.
That's our problem. That's our problem. We're going to listen to somebody else, but they won't listen to us. That's the problem. Keep voting. When they tell you who to vote for, you're going to get no good results. Go to Washington, D.C. You go to D.C. when Congress not in the building, I have to give it to the white folks. At least January 6th, they went there when Congress was in the building, not on vacation.
Yeah.
So the man who drove that bus to go to D.C. when it was closed, he should have told them, no one is there. Why are we going to D.C.? That's my problem.
Hey, James, let me say this. So what you're saying is that black folks go to Washington, D.C. when nobody there. White folks go when they know folks is there. So is that what you're telling us?
That's right. Watch this. White folks going to make sure their voice is going to be heard by Congress. We are told, well, let's go when Congress ain't in the building. If you lay down with a dog, you'll wind up with fleas every time. Stop listening to those who don't. See, your new friend has become your new enemy. Stop listening to your new black friends because they're your new enemy. When you got houses in your neighborhood and your next door neighbor is a vacant house, two or three houses in a row, you lost your power right there because at least you can go to your neighbor and talk. These new friends of yours you're talking to every day now, those are your new enemies. How you can have this many black radio hosts and you can't get your voice to Washington, D.C. when they in the building? The Asians don't even have a radio station, but they make sure the president do something for them. That's our problem. Our own people don't want to be us. And quit saying they look like us. No, they are us. They just turned against us. That's the problem. That is the number one problem. And we're going to always have problems. Tell me when black Congress have ever spent 2 hours talking about helping black folks in this country. Never have. But they'll defend another race every day. But the black race.
Wow. That's heavy, James. That's heavy. You know,
It's heavy. But tell me when I'm lying. Stop me when I'm lying, though. It's heavy. See, a lot of them don't like the truth. All they do is tell a lie. A lie will never overpower the truth. Your new friends, call them up and tell them. Your new friends, call them up and tell them you need help, see what they tell you. Or they're going to tell you, oh, man, I got to go pick up my mama. Where was she at? She'll be home next week, but I got to wait till she call me. See, they're not coming to save you. You support them every day. When have you heard of a black radio host said, I'm going to join the citizens that's calling my show? Never have. They're going to keep telling you, oh, I don't condone violence, but you allow your people to keep accepting violence done to them. That's our number one problem. If I can't talk for you, you can't talk for me. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
Look at your neighborhoods. Look at your neighborhoods. City council should be forced to live on these streets where there are vacant houses. They need to know how it feels to live like that. But that's the caller's fault. It's no such thing where the radio host should pick the topic. If the topic don't fit the caller that's having a problem, because the host don't live nowhere around the callers, they don't have the problem that the callers have. So when you say, oh, I live in Flint, I don't live in Detroit, but you know everything else going on in Detroit. You know what's going on because you said it 2 days ago. You said, oh, look what happened to Kwame. But Kwame was on the news in Detroit, but you say you live in Flint. How did you know that all of a sudden? You also made a statement about the boy that shot the two people with the gun. That's a whole other state. How you know that and you live in Flint? See, that's our problem. Mm-hmm. Our black radio hosts supposed to be our friends, but they are really our enemies. Ask any of them for help and see what they tell you. See what they tell you. They have more, and Donald Trump is not a liar. Donald Trump said, he said the most important thing you never heard come out of Obama's mouth. He said, black folks, give me your vote. What do you got to lose? Look at your schools and look at your neighborhoods. It's the black leaders twisted around. He's talking about black folks, but he told the truth. Look at your schools and look at your neighborhood. How many Mexicans that they defend live around your school, your neighborhood?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
James.
You.
It's like, we ran out of time, but look, there you go. You know, you just all we can do is tell it just like it is. And listen, let's talk soon, and let's make this thing happen.
Will do. Will do.
All right. All right, my brother. And this is